The following presentation is brought to you by Rita, the Rudyard Institute for Transpersonal Activity, a nonprofit public benefit corporation dedicated to disseminating the work and essential message of Dane Rudyard. All material is copyrighted by Layla Rudyard Hill. If you'd like to learn more about Rita or make a donation towards supporting the ongoing legacy of Dane Rudyard, visit www.rudyardinstitute.org. For the complete selection of free downloads of audio presentations by Dane Rudyard, visit www.rudyardaudioarchives.com. We hope you enjoy the following presentation by Dane Rudyard, Astrology in New Age Guidance, Part 1, which received a standing ovation at the Astrology and the Helping Professions Conference in San Francisco in September 1977. This talk is 29 minutes long.
The title of this talk in itself poses a problem because, as you may know, the title is Astrology in New Age Guidance. And three words there, astrology, New Age, and guidance, are really very important words which I believe need clarification, because they are given a variety of meanings used for many and different purposes, and therefore a great deal of confusion is generated in the mind of astrologers, students of astrologers, or people who are interested and would like to know how they can use astrology in their own work. What I would like at first is to clarify as much as possible the approach which I have been taking in astrology during the last 40 or more years. And I feel that, though it is perhaps a little personal, I feel it is somewhat necessary, because this approach in many cases is not clearly understood, and words which I have coined and used are used with a meaning which very often I have not given to it. And so, if we want to know how to use astrology in New Age guidance, we have first to know what kind of astrology I am talking about. Then, what do we really need by New Age? Which is a very important question. And secondly, what kind of guidance can be provided for people who belong to or aspire to belong to this famous New Age? I think it should be made clear at first that astrology in the past has been essentially a descriptive process, and so was psychology. When I studied for the first time astrology in 1920 in Los Angeles, I had also read a great deal about classical psychology in Paris, where I was born, before World War I. And at that time, both astrology and psychology were essentially descriptive. Classical psychology defined categories of psychic mental activities: reason, will, emotion, thinking, intuition, fear, love. All those emotions and all those processes of the mind were defined, described, and in the same way, astrology at that time defined the traditional meaning gave to the sun, the moon, planets, zodiacal sign, etc. Now, what was done with astrology and with psychology in the end of the 19th century, particularly, and in astrology when it started again in the 20th century, was to describe or to diagnose, as it were, how the categories or the planets were interrelated in a particular person or in a particular social or cultural group. They were the same planet, they were the same psychological concept or categories of processes, of activities, But in every particular person, they were related, interrelated in a very definite, particular, individual way. And so the idea was that to show, to describe how that particular person, what kind of arrangement, what kind of relationship, what kind of pattern between those various characteristic elements, it's relatively separate and singled out, how the pattern of those elements operated, so that you could diagnose, as it were, or describe the temperament or the character of the person, and that gave you a key to the person's temperament or his character. You could find out his trouble, you could find what was wrong with him, you could also find how to deal with that person to your own advantage, which many people did try to. And if you were medically inclined, you could also try to find a cure for whatever seems to be wrong in the particular interrelationship between the different factors in that nature, whether they had too much emotion and not enough thought, too much will and or not enough will in relation to too much passion or sex drive or whatever it is. So that the whole idea of both astrology and psychology was to provide knowledge. The whole idea was the Greek rationalistic approach of man know thyself. The idea was that man had reason, or in a religious sense was a God-given soul, and if man had knowledge, he would use it rightly. In the same way, in science, you took any new discovery and you gave it immediately to people, because if they had knowledge about, say, the atom, then they could, of course, use it right away to improve the world and create an ideal society. Now we know, of course, that that is not that nice and that simple. Freud, of course, was the one who gave a rude shock to this classical approach, showing that man was not essentially rational, that the I, the famous I am, could cover all kind of multiple personality of chaos, complexes, and so on. And Freud's clinical approach was to help people to function normally in their society, to become, again, normal, good citizens. It was with Jung that psychology was transformed to a large extent as a healing way, as a process by means the human being could find in himself a center around which to integrate all what was in him, all what was not essentially good or bad, but which, if integrated, could make him a real person with his own character and with his own work in life. And of course, he used the concept of alchemy to deal with symbols and to deal with the process of individuation or making the man an integrated whole. Now, in the early part of the 19th century, the 20th century, there were attempts by a few men to give to the elements that were used in astrology, the sign, the planet, the house, the aspects, a much more deep philosophical significance than they had had in the classical period of European 17th century, or in Greece, or Rome, or Alexandria. There were Sepharial and in Alan Leo, which dealt Sepharial with the Kabbalah and numbers and all that. Alan Leo, who tried to interpret astrological principle in terms of the recent theosophical idea, especially of Mrs. Besant. There were Max Eindel, who tried to Christianize theosophy and bring it into a Rosicrucian kind of background. And there were Mark Jones, who was inspired, according to him, by Chaldean old traditions from the inner world and also from the medieval scholastic idea. Now, all these men try to give a different, basic, more basic, more sound meaning to astrology and the principle or the elements which astrology used, how to relate to the wider concept of humanity, and also in some cases, especially in the case of Mark Jones, how to help people to give a significant consultation to people who wanted advices, so that they could really profit and benefit from those consultations. Now, I met Mark Jones in 1931-32. He gave me the first material that he has published in mimeograph form, and I found it extremely interesting, because at the same time I was studying Jung, and I realized that astrology could be used in what Jung called the process of individuation. And what I personally, according to my other kind of background, would tend to relate to what the occultists or the theosophists call the path of transformation, which is a little different from the process of individuation, because the process of individuation leads to what you might call fulfillment in self, with around the self, the spiritual self, whereas transformation, the path, the occult path, is a process which leads to a radical kind of transformation of the personality and also of the very essence of consciousness. And eventually, depth psychology with Jung became height psychology, the psychology of the height of the mountain, you might say, with men like Maslow and Assagioli, who started the humanistic kind of psychology movement. That in around, say, 1960, or I don't know exactly the year, at the present time. Now, what I tried to do, and what is the foundation of the work which I have done, and which is expressed in the book Astrology of Personality, which was published in 1936 and written during the 2 years before, was to provide a different philosophy of life, of which astrology would present itself as a practical application. I tried to show that astrology, if reinterpreted according to certain concepts, which some of which I found in a remarkable book by General Smuts, the great statesman philosopher, Holism and Evolution, was published in the early 20s. I found that if you could really understand the world in terms of wholes, W-H-O, of course, of a hierarchy of system, hierarchy of wholes, a lesser whole being part of a greater whole, and the greater whole being again part of another greater whole, so that you have, that everything could be at the same time a whole and a part. And therefore the parts could be related to the whole, and therefore the smaller whole, let us say the person, could be related to a larger whole, which you could define in various ways, let us say, for simplicity's sake, as humanity as a whole. Now, this idea of holism, or what I call holarchy, the principle archy of holism, of the whole, felt very well, could be used in relation to Jung psychology. It could be used in relation to Mark Jones' new approach, or old approach, to a deeper understanding of what planet, sign, and aspects and all that meant in astrology. It could also be related very closely to the new concepts in physics introduced by Einstein and others. A type of physics in which the idea of form and relationship is far greater, far more significant than the concept of millions of entities, little beer ball, all very far from each other, attracted by special mechanical forces, and working in the universe according to no very well-known or understood principle. Also, Einstein stressed the fact that all knowledge depends on the observer, on the knower, and therefore also on the interpretation which he gave to that knowledge. so that in a certain sense, knowledge became symbolical. The universe was different from every observer. Every man was the center of his own universe, in a sense. So that in a sense, if you look at all those things together, the new physics, the new philosophy, the new psychology, and a deeper approach to astrology, you can build up a type of astrology which, for lack of a better term, later on I call humanistic astrology. The reason why I called it humanistic astrology, though I had no particular favor for the term humanistic, was that there had been just a few years before a new movement of humanistic psychology, which was also called the third force in psychology. Now, the third force was the third because Freud was considered one of the force. Academic or experimental psychology in laboratory was called the second force. And the third force was a kind of psychology which was for the purpose of the human being, the person, to discover what he or she was essentially, and especially to fulfill, to actualize the potentiality of its complete, total nature, or what the Hindu call is Dharma. And that third force in psychology, Maslow particularly, pointed out that most everybody, or many people indeed, had great moments, where we call the peak experience, in which a greater understanding of the universe was made available to the person in a kind of moment of illumination or inspiration. And in those peak moments of life, the universe and man became united, and everything seems to be one, and the great influence and the power that worked through the universe were seen identically operating in the human being. Now, this, of course, in a sense, established a very fine and profound explanation of astrology, because if the universe and man are one, then it is easy to understand that the pattern, the forces, the balance of forces operating in the solar system at any moment will also affect the balance of forces in the individual person if the universe and the person are essentially one. Now, to try to understand how those forces operate, to try to understand what every moment of life, of existence on this planet, means for anything alive on that planet, you have to deal with cycles. You have to deal with time. We have to consider that there is a power involved in the essence of time, that the thing that happened at a certain time and at a certain place happen at that time and that place because there is a need for them. So that every human being who is born at a certain time and place is born there because it feels a certain need of the universe at that time and place. It has, that person has a purpose, has a function to fulfill, and that is what the Hindu call is Dharma. Now, in order to understand that, you have to understand as many basic cycles as possible. And of course, the simpler, the most basic. In my book, The Pulse of Life, I spoke of the zodiac in terms of the Chinese philosophy of the yang, the balance of the yin and yang, what I call the night force and the day force, and that give, and showing that every sign of the zodiac had the characteristic that it was given to because of it represented a particular balance of the yin and yang forces. Every day that balance changed, and therefore everything that is born at a certain moment of the year is defined essentially by the balance of the yin and the yang at that time, or the day force and the night force. And astrology, zodiacal astrology, is simply a codification of that kind of balancing process. In the lunation cycle, another book of mine, I dealt with the cycle not of the moon, but of the relationship between the sun and the moon. As you know, a new moon is a conjunction of the sun and the moon. And when you speak of a lunation cycle, you speak of the period between one new moon and another new moon, which is a solely lunar cycle, not a lunar cycle. And I began to speak also of something which nobody else had spoken of before in that sense, of the progress lunation cycle as a basic frame of reference for the actualization of the birth potential of that particular person. And if you listen to the workshop of Leila Ryle on Sunday, you will know much more about the lunation cycle. I also dealt with the great cycle of the planet, the precession of the equinox, in the book Astrological Timing, because there those cycles deal with humanity as a whole, with the planet as a whole. And after all, man is born at a certain moment of the evolution of humanity, of his culture, of his society, and unless you understand the larger cycle of that society and that culture, you do not really understand the opportunities that are available to that particular person. And so on. When I began to use the term humanistic astrology in 1969, I did so in order to show that there was also a kind of third force in astrology. One force being the old classical astrology based on prediction and fortune telling, more or less sophisticated or less sophisticated fortune telling, but any prediction is a fortune telling in a sense. Then there was another force which was recently started, the so-called scientific approach to astrology, dealing with statistics, dealing with research, computers, and all that kind of things, trying to prove that astrology was worthwhile and was working, which I think, of course, anybody who has used astrology know without having had to have any statistic dealing with it. But the idea was that you had to make astrology respectable and try to change the law against it and so on, which of course is a very worthwhile purpose. But essentially what I wanted to deal with, and when you deal with astrological guidance and especially New Age guidance, you need a kind of astrology which is tuned up to a different approach either than prediction or than pure statistical research. And that's why I use at one time the term astrology as karma yoga, because I try to show that it is only through the fulfillment of karma that you can really perform your dharma. That is to say, and by karma I mean really all the past of the nature you are born as, all the past, your family, your tradition, your culture, this is your karma. That is your karma to be born in it. And your dharma is how to use the possibility of that karma, and by fulfilling it, by understanding it and fulfilling it, to make an individual mark on society, that is to say, to build toward the future of humanity. You see. And that led me to later on to speak of a transpersonal psychology and transpersonal astrology, which also followed up to some extent the idea of transpersonal psychology, which had been created also by the very people who had started the humanistic movement in psychology. Maslow, especially Antoni Susic in Palo Alto, Fadiman and a number of others, Assagioli and a number of others, who found that humanistic psychology was fine, except that it tended to be narcissistic, to be too involved in the person as the person was, at the level at which the person was in a normal social way of existence. But that there was a possibility to go beyond that, and that mysticism, religion, and great experience showed that man should not only fulfill himself at the level where his culture and his society was, but could transform himself totally and radically into more than man and achieve a meta-personal, transpersonal approach. My approach to the term transpersonal is different, and I have no time to discuss it at the present time, but just merely to mention it. so that people do not realize, do not think that I am using it exactly in the same way in which transpersonal psychologists are using it. Because trans can mean beyond the personal, but it can also mean through the personal, translucent, that light passes through. And therefore, that the idea was that if man as a lesser whole, as a little whole, was part of a greater whole, then that greater whole, however you might conceive it and imagine it or visualize it or experience it, that greater whole could act upon the smaller whole, and the smaller whole could become, as it were, an agent of the greater whole for the fulfillment of the purpose, which transcends the purpose of the purely personal life of that person. Now, today, the term humanistic astrology is broadly used by many astrologers, but most of the time, or at least a great part of the time, what is meant merely is an astrology which is psychological, related to psychology, and which tries to provide a broad kind of psychological help. It doesn't necessarily can belong to the category of a New Age guidance, which imply the guiding towards something which is in the future and which is not yet defined at a particular time toward which you are going to. Now, what do we mean by that New Age? I could speak to a long, long time, but the time passes, as usual, fast. And I want to point only a few things, which perhaps may astonish some of you. That when you are dealing with the New Age in an intelligent way, you are dealing with three factors. You are dealing essentially with a particular philosophy of life and of the relationship of man to the evolution of life and consciousness on this earth. The idea that there can be a new kind of consciousness, that means that consciousness can evolve, that humanity can evolve, and how it can evolve is the question which then that philosophy is trying to interpret. Now, this means also an understanding that culture, societies, civilization grow and decay, mature and decay, like any organism. And that, therefore, when you can speak of the birth of a culture and the birth and the maturity and the decay of that culture. Now, what astrology adds to those very simple facts is that there is also a cycle, which we call the precession of the equinox, which, if we interpret it in a certain way, can help us to understand the process by means of which those cultures, those historical processes, evolve, grow, mature, and decay, so that we can understand where we are now, today, in the evolution of mankind, which of course no historian can really tell you. No psychologist can tell you really, from merely seeing the patient and hearing his story and hearing a few dreams, where that particular phase of the life of that patient on the day of the consultation is. Because it doesn't have an idea of the pattern of the development of that personality from birth to death. It cannot see the person as a whole in time. Well, you can see as a whole in space, there is a body in front of me. But it doesn't see the evolution of that consciousness, of the individuality within that body, from the early point of beginning to the last point in death. But the astrologer, having the birth chart and the progression and the transits and all that, can tell at what phase of the total development of that person is on the moment of consultation. And that's why I said that the moment of consultation is just as important for an astrologer as the moment of birth. Because if you want to help a human being, you have to know what can help him at that time in terms of this particular stage of his consciousness evolution. You cannot tell the same thing to a kid of 12 years old as to an old man of 70, or even as to a distraught person in the famous dangerous 40s.
This is the end of part one of Astrology in New Age Guidance by Dane Rudyard. The preceding audio is copyrighted by Leila Rudyard Hill and was brought to you by Rita, the Rudyard Institute for Transpersonal Activity. Learn more about Rita or contribute to the ongoing legacy of Dane Rudyard at www.rudyardinstitute.org. For the complete selection of free downloads of audio presentations by Dane Rudyard, visit www.rudyardaudioarchives.com.